Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
I, as Reverend David Luba, are honored to be invited back into this pulpit. David last Sunday and me this Sunday, the oldies but goodies, I guess. I also noticed that the height of the pulpit has not gotten any lower as I've gotten shorter. Can we pray? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In these glorious summer days, we find ourselves listening into an unusual scripture and perhaps an unusual understanding of it. It was March 2003 that I first heard these scriptural words preached from this pulpit by my dear colleague and friend, the Reverend Dr. Robert A. Hill. I used his sermon a few weeks ago for my morning meditation, and out of that grew this, my scriptural sermon and understanding. I give God thanks for Bob and his Christ God-centered life. Walk with me a minute. It is early morning, and I begin my walk on the canal, starting down the slope to the water at lock number 32. I first notice the sky. It's a beautiful blue, allowing the sun to shine directly on me for a few moments. It's peaceful. I have left the world and its challenges, both personal and worldly, behind. As I walk, I notice these lovely blue-flowered weeds growing out of the boulders holding the steep side, steady. And there is a yellow flower coming out on the same stem as the blue ones. Higher up on the same side are pretty pink clover blossoms nestled into the rock. And now I am fully immersed into my walk. I am seemingly alone on the path, and I can feel the warmth of the early morning sun and the singing of the cardinals back and forth to one another, and the chirps of other birds fill me with reverence. I am enmeshed in the beauty of God's world. Oops, I have to step around the duck dung deposits, but the reverie comes right back. The overhanging bushes shade me for a moment, and I notice a branch hanging very low, laden with red mulberries. The trees and the shrubbery are reflected in the sunny waters of the canal, which lays quiet with very little stirring. As I continue walking, I notice the chase boats on the other side of the canal, ready for rowing lessons later in the morning. But no voices intrude on this serendipitous moment. And as I walk, I feel drawn even deeper into the Spirit of God known in Christ. The rhythm of my walk seems to match this descending into my heart. There is a peacefulness come over me, and I want to breathe it in ever so deeply and cradle it there. I begin to approach one of my favorite spots on the canal, where there is a tall, tall pear tree and ancient-looking big rocks and shrubs carved out a circle of peace that speaks to me. Today, even more so. As I walk past a boat tied up to a dock, I notice this sign. Slow, no wake zone. Oh, I know what the sign is meant for. But there's more meaning in it for me and for you. For that is what I'm experiencing, a no wake zone. The world is not intruding on this serenity, and it is as if Jesus has laid his head in my heart and my soul. In this beauty of God's creative world, I am at peace. I know myself as I know you and all God's people know. We are God's beloved. Now my walk takes me back up to the bridge, and now I can hear the busyness of the traffic. An ambulance going by, sirens blaring. Someone must be in dire need, and probably fearful. Car horns are honking and speeding along far too fast. I know the world is intruding on my holy solitude. The rushing of the cars, the agendas ahead, and the turbulence in the world draw me back. And it is now that the scripture speaks. In the exuberant of youth, it says, a scribe comes to Jesus and throws his lot in with the disciples. I will follow you wherever you go, he says. But Jesus' response is startling. There's no encouragement. There's no congratulations. There's no come along. There's no thanksgiving. Jesus rebukes the scribe, telling him how homeless the Christ is in this world. And he says, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. We hear Jesus' favorite self-reverence, the Son of Man, surely comes from the lips of Jesus of Nazareth. We know that today we need not only to hear what Jesus said, but also to know what this means for our life together. In the world we live in, the question comes, is there any place for Jesus to lay his head? We live in a world today where, you know it as well as I, rancor speech displaces respect for another. The busyness of agendas displaces the quiet solitude and beauty of our creative world. Loyalty seems to displace honesty. Competition displaces compassion. Wealthiness displaces the needs of the less wealthy. The haves displace the have-nots. Self-centeredness seems to displace care for others. Criticism of others displaces interactions of acceptance and a desire to understand. The innocents are judged guilty. The powerful judge the powerless. Those different than we are judged to be wrong. A country of wealth displaces those who have nothing to eat. And words displace actions. Weapons displace plowshares. The power of one country displaces another's power and homeland. The force of arms displaces justice. The killing of others in our city displaces knowing each to be a child of God. We live in a world where Jesus has no place to lay his head, except the sleepless Savior, the roving Redeemer, the homeless Christ of this single sentence in our Holy Scripture. The Son of Man, who has no place to lay his head. It is he who calls us to open our hearts to him and live with him embedded in us. And that, my friends, can change the world. This homeless Savior promises to be with us as we are with him. Jesus, the living Christ, when nestled in our hearts, has a place to lay his head, and we are transformed. As we permit Jesus to lay his head in us, we are called to be persistent and consistent faces of Jesus' love. It's a never-ending call, never finished, never finalized, always unfolding. Being the face of Jesus' love for others, seeing the face of God in another, means reaching out and going deep within people, as deep as possible in their pain, their fear, and their darkness, as well as their hope. It is easy to shrug at the fabric of society pulls apart. It takes courage not to lose heart, to be present and accessible to each other. It means nurturing the Son of Man so deeply in our hearts that we respond out of his love. It means walking with Jesus and being refreshed, rejuvenated and revealing of this Son of Man. We are called to have the Son of Man direct our power and our passion, to create life where there is death, to put flesh on bare-boned intention, to light a fire against the midnight of indifference, to throw bridges to care across the canyons of loneliness. Early this spring, our pastor, Pat, preached a sermon and asked a biblical question. Is God hidden in you? I've nurtured that question at the end of days. Sometimes I have done well, and other days I've truly missed the mark, and God was hidden. More recently, a friend of a friend of mine who kneels each night at prayer and says, "So, how did we, you and I, do today, God?" You see, in the rush and noise of life, as we have intervals of solitude and stillness with Jesus in Christ nestled in our hearts, when we wait for God's renewing presence, we will be carried through our days with new meaning and direction. Does the Son of Man have a place to lay his head in us? Enough to make a difference? When we live aware of the Son of Man laying within us, his healing, his direction, his love, lives change. Ours, others, and maybe, my friends, just maybe, the world. May it be so.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.